Hey, on the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo, game day be delicious. Oh, yeah. What's up, Ross?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
All right. Guru's all worried already.
Dude, this dude is missing my words.
Christian McCaffrey, got to hold him out 3 months. He's all worried about McCaffrey. I told him, Ross, Jordan Mason's better, right?
Oh, my gosh. You're going to go better,
Simon? He's trolling, Ross. You know who he is and what he's about. He's trolling.
Better's a stretch for sure, but I will say this. I do think that they will be extremely cautious with McCaffrey's whatever it is, Achilles tendonitis or whatever they're calling it. They're going to be very, very, very careful with that thing because obviously they know where they're going. They're going to the playoffs, and their best chance to win the Super Bowl this year is if McCaffrey's 100%. It'll be interesting to see when he actually comes back, and then when he does come back, exactly what his usage will be like, right? Yeah. Because especially now that Jordan Mason is showing he can do it at a pretty darn high level, you would think that they wouldn't, you know, put quite as much on Christian as they did last year.
Yeah, Ross, it's great to have you back. We were at the game Monday night when the news broke that there would be no McCaffrey. I'm a guy that bought the Jet Kool-Aid, Aaron Rodgers. I know it's one game, but were you shocked that the Niners were able to physically dominate on both sides of the ball and Mason had the game he had against Robert Saleh and the Jets?
I don't know if I'll go shocked, but surprised for sure. Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, it's just so Jets, right? I mean, they finally get a quarterback playing at a pretty high level for them, and we can debate, you know, just how high the level was, right? I mean, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers will be a top five guy this year or top 10, but he certainly played like a top 15 guy the other night, and the Jets haven't had that in a long, long time. So, of course, right when they get a quarterback playing at a top 10 level, their defense drops off, can't stop the run, can't get after the quarterback, which has to be highly, highly discouraging. Because obviously the GM, Joe Douglas, the head coach, Robert Saleh, know that it's now or never for them with the Jets, which it makes it even more confusing as to why they haven't gotten a deal done with Hassan Reddick yet. I mean, hey, guys, it's not your money. And you kind of need to make sure you win this year or you're gone. It almost makes you wonder if potentially, you know, ownership is involved in this one.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands. Guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop joining us. Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. So a lot of 49er fans, Ross, are concerned with having to make a deep run and then how do you utilize kind of their skill position players. So right now the worry is when's McCaffrey going to come back? But a lot of 49er fans are also saying, well, man, Jordan Mason just carried 28 times. Obviously, we can't do that every week. They're also seeing Deebo Samuel return some kicks and carry the ball 8 times. And they're saying, well, we got to be careful about Deebo Samuel and maybe using him too much. How much does that even factor into a coach's game plan? I mean, can you coach the way you want to coach in the NFL if you're worried about how you're utilizing players and how many touches they have?
Yeah, you know, I think they are generally aware of it, and they go into a game, you know, not wanting to give so-and-so. You know, sometimes they go into a game wanting to get so-and-so a certain amount of touches. Other times they go in not wanting to overuse a guy. In my experience, that sounds great Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then the game actually starts. And it's a close game, and they want to win. And that stuff all kind of goes out the window. I mean, I've seen it so many times in my time as a player where, you know, they have a plan to try to keep certain guys on a pitch count. And then you get to the fourth quarter, and nobody's talking about the pitch count anymore. You know, it's like they just win that game. It happens with D linemen and pass rushers and running backs. I mean, it's just the way it kind of is, which is why I do think they need to try to get some other guys involved, especially at running back, while McCaffrey's out. What happens if Mason goes down?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you want to make sure that you know, he's healthy and he can carry the load for a while, because they might want to ease McCaffrey back in when he's healthy.
Hey, Ross, I'm so locked into this season and every game, not trying to, you know, look down the road. But Steiny, about a month and a half ago, 6 weeks ago, said, you know what? I'd like to see Brock without some of the weaponry in regard to his contract status. And lo and behold, the football gods take McCaffrey away. Were you more impressed with Brock Purdy's performance without McCaffrey? Can you talk to us about what you saw from him? Because I was worried about it. And he just went out there and looked like the same old Brock Purdy.
Yeah, and in fairness, I mean, when they're running the ball that effectively, boy, it makes things so much easier for any quarterback, including Purdy, right? I mean, the play action stuff, the bootleg stuff, that's the whole idea, right? Like, that's not a knock on Purdy. That's a compliment for Kyle that the plays all complement each other. And so he's able to, obviously, pretty effectively be able to manage the offense and operate it at a high level. As long as they can run the ball, you know, it should be relatively easy. I don't say easy, but the degree of difficulty for Purdy should not be real high if they're running the ball that effectively. That's the whole idea. I mean, it's why, look at the numbers that certain quarterbacks have put up in Shanahan-style offense over the years, right? I mean, Matt Schaub was like a perennial Pro Bowler with Kubiak and Kyle, and Matt Ryan won an MVP with Kyle. I mean, that's kind of the deal. If you can operate his offense at a high level, he's probably going to be able to put you in a really, really good position for success.
Ross Tucker joining us on 95.7 The Game. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Let me ask you about an overall question about Kyle Shanahan, because I was thinking about this on the way in. So you're going to play without Christian McCaffrey, who many people feel is one of the best running backs in football, if not the best. And so you bring in his backup, and he rushes for 28 times and for 147 yards. Is there an element of a Shanahan offense? And I know Mason's not McCaffrey, but can he just generate yards on the ground with any running back because of this system?
No, I don't think any running back, because it's interesting. You know, they've had guys where they've moved on from them.
Yeah.
You know, Trey Sermon and Tyrion Davis Price. I mean, they've had third-round picks that they moved on from after a year because they decided or realized that's not the guy. You know, I mean, which makes you wonder, why are they even taking running backs with third-round picks anymore, right? I mean, you know, they have so much success, it feels like, without having to do that. To me, it's almost strange that they do it sometimes, but you know, that's how they roll. But they clearly can find these undrafted guys. It's almost like when the Niners draft the running back in the third round, I'm out on him. If they draft him in the seventh round or he's undrafted, I'm in. You know, it's like, it's the strangest thing. I mean, John Lynch must be saying to Kyle, why are we ever taking running backs in the third round to cut him after a year, when we find these late round or undrafted gems?
Ross, I'm not a liar. I'm weird. I own it. I heard you on the call for the Bills Cardinals. Our producer, Evan, does play-by-play for college. I don't lie. You guys are good. I, for the last 3 months, have been nervous that Brady was replacing Olsen, because I thought Burkhardt and Olsen, they had something. But can you be honest with us and just share your critique of Brady? Because I'm disappointed in the sense that he wasn't bad. He knew what he was talking about, but Ross, there was no energy or personality. Talk to me.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I did Bills Cardinals, And interestingly, I live in central PA, so it's 4.5-hour drive, which is actually better for me than trying to fly and get back to central PA. So I didn't watch any of Brady, not any. And so I'm actually looking forward to it because this tomorrow night I'm doing Dolphins Bills on the radio, Westwood One. You guys are probably carrying it. And then Saturday night, I got Dion. I got Colorado State, CBS primetime, which will be awesome. But I'm bringing those up, Guru, to tell you I'm going to watch a lot of Brady on Sunday.
Okay.
And I'll be able to tell you more after I watch that. I've obviously seen the reports.
Yes.
And the social media. I got to tell you, I got at least 10 text messages from people saying to me, this isn't my opinion, I didn't watch it, but 10 messages from people, buddies of mine, friends, family, whatever, saying, well, I found one thing you're better than Brady at.
we got a grading system here. We'll give that a 4.
I'll take it. I'll take it. I'm sure he'll be better than me in no time, but I'll take it. I will say this. You know, my first game was Yale Penn, you know, on the YES Network. I'm glad there wasn't 20 million people watching or whatever, because I'm sure I wouldn't have gotten rave reviews either. So, yeah, it's kind of part of the issue of putting spots.
Was that game at the Yale Bowl or at Franklin Field?
It was at Franklin Field, was my first time ever doing a game on TV. And, guys, it went to triple overtime. I was hooked. I was like, this is awesome. I love doing games.
Hey, real quick, Ross, let's just stick to the NFC. Eagles, Cowboys, Packers, Lions, Rams. Those are a lot of the teams that are said to be atop that division, atop the conference, along with the Niners. Which of those teams, if any, stuck out to you in week one?
Well, I would say, the Packers are in trouble for as long as Jordan Love's out, and that might really, really, hurt their chances. But I would say the teams that stuck out are actually the Eagles and the Cowboys for kind of different reasons, right? I mean, the Cowboys went to Cleveland and totally dominated those guys. I mean, that was super impressive by the Cowboys. I thought they were taking a step back at a number of spots, and they went out and dominated both sides of the ball. So I thought that was highly encouraging if you're a Cowboys fan like Guru. And then for the Eagles, here's what's crazy about the Eagles. Jalen Hurts, and they had 2 turnovers inside their own 20. He threw a pick in the end zone. So he gave the Packers points twice. He took points off the board once, and the Eagles still won. So that's the part that if you're an Eagles fan or if you're a Niners fan, you're like, whoa, to have three horrendous turnovers like that and the Eagles still won, that's pretty encouraging if you're an Eagles fan.
I'll leave you with this, and we know you're busy. Deshaun Watson, I thought he was gross. I don't know what's going on, but I've been rooting for him, as crazy as that sounds. But what are your thoughts, man? What's happened to his game, and is he going to get it back?
I doubt it. I mean, at this point, I'd be surprised, right? It's been, 4 years since he played well? Since he played at a high level? And then last year, he had 2 separate injuries on his throwing shoulder? That seems pretty unlikely now, doesn't it? I mean, it's possible, but I would be surprised.
Hey, Ross.
Appreciate it,
Loving
man.
It, buddy. Looking forward to talking to you this year, and have a great rest of the week.
And help Dion out, too, Ross. He needs it, man.
that atmosphere is going to be crazy. It's at Colorado State for the first time since 1996. They say it's going to be the biggest event in the history of the town. I can't wait.
Where is that? Colorado Springs? Colorado Springs?
Fort Collins, Colorado.
All right.
Air Force.
That's right. All right, Ross. Thanks. Appreciate it. That was NFL Odyssey Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. And of course, he came to us courtesy of the River Islands guest line.
Yeah.
The River Islands guest line.
Who can promote
Discover
like
the
must.
Islands in Lathrop?